الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, a parent who loves his little baby, his child, and shows great affection towards his little child, plays with the child, cuddles the child, and at times you find that the parent holds his little baby and throws his little child into the air and then catches the little child. The child goes up into the air. It's just a few seconds or less than a few seconds that the child is in mid-air, and then the child falls back into the soft hands of its parent. It comes back into the soft hands of his parents, laughing, happy. But when the child was in mid-air, there were those few moments of anxiety. When the child was in mid-air, there were those few seconds of anxiety, few moments of anxiety, until it fell back into the hands of its soft, or the soft hands of its parents. Respected brothers and elders, that child which was in mid-air and experienced those few moments of anxiety, that is likened to the world or the life in this world, which is a few moments of anxiety compared to the everlasting akhirat. We have been created by Allah. We have come into this world. Allah has sent us into this world. And every single one of us returns to Allah. We return to the soft hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we experience those few moments of so-called anxiety in this world. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayh, the great mufassir, he has explained, he has said, that every single person experiences two tomorrows. لكل إنسان غدان غَدٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَغَدٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. We have a tomorrow in this world. Today is Friday, tomorrow is Saturday. And then there is a tomorrow of the hereafter. But he explains and he says that the tomorrow of the hereafter is far more greater and superior than the tomorrow of this world. And the simple reason that the tomorrow of the akhirat is guaranteed. The tomorrow of the akhirat is guaranteed. But the tomorrow of dunya is not guaranteed. This is something that all of us ought to realize. We ought to focus and ponder and reflect. The that no one has guarantee he will even see the end of Jummah Salat. May Allah give us long life with afiyat and good health. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned that even he makes salam to the right hand side, he says, I've got no guarantee I will even make salam to my left hand side in Salat. This is maut, this is the reality of death. This is the reality of dunya. So there is no guarantee of experiencing a tomorrow in this world. But tomorrow of the akhirat is guaranteed. Then he goes on to say, perhaps a person does experience a tomorrow in this world. Then too, the tomorrow of the akhirat is superior. Why? Because there is no guarantee in this world that a person will enjoy himself with the pleasures and the bounties that Allah has blessed him with in the tomorrow of this world. How often it has been found, a person wakes up in the morning and Allah protect us, he wakes up with a stroke. He's unable to function. He's not mobile. He's unable to speak. Somebody wakes up, he is blind. Somebody wakes up to find that his whole business has been destroyed. He's got nothing. He's now left penniless. How is he going to enjoy the bounties then of the tomorrow of this world? Have you not heard of people going on a holiday, enjoying that holiday, and suddenly there's a freak accident? A little child passes away. All that happiness turns into doom. So there's no guarantee a person will enjoy the tomorrow in this world. There is a story of a famous king who had been enjoying the pleasures of this world until he became so frustrated with all the different type of responsibilities he had. So he decided that he requires some break, some rest. Many of us feel sometimes we've worked quite hard. I just need a break, it's a vacation, a holiday. So he instructs all his people, his men, his soldiers, his army. Whatever happens, no person must disturb me. And he goes into this garden and he locks himself up inside this garden with his wife. And he says, now he is just going to enjoy his few days, have his break. And every single person in his palace was warned not to disturb him for any reason. So everybody moved far away from him. And now he is seated with his wife, enjoying the cool breeze. And he takes a cluster of grapes. And whilst he is busy eating those grapes, he puts one grape into the mouth of his wife. She bites onto this grape and the juice oozes out, and with it pops the seed. The seed pops out and he gets stuck into her throat. The color of her face now is beginning to change. She begins to cough. She is choking. He begins to pat her and he sees that there's nothing happening. She's not responding. He pats her even more harder. He is screaming now for help. He is screaming for his men to come and assist him. He had forgotten that he had warned every person to stay far away from him. He just wanted to have a break. He wanted absolute peace, no disturbance whatsoever. Historians have written that he tried desperately to save her life, but she died. She passed away in his hands. They go on to say, because he has such passionate love for her, he lost his mind, he lost his senses, and 2 or 3 weeks later, he also left this world. No guarantee of enjoyment of the tomorrow of dunya. There is no guarantee. But the tomorrow of akhirat, in Jannat, it is Allah's promise. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. It's a perpetual life, a life full of happiness. There is no stress, there is no toil, there is no labor, there is no suffering, there is no sickness if a person is given Jannat. Allah forbid that our end result must not be Jahannam and being in the fire of Jahannam forever and ever. Therefore, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi explains that the tomorrow of the akhirat is far greater than the tomorrow of dunya, which is short-lived. There's a riwayat that every single morning there are two angels that descend and they say, Halummu ila rabbikum, hasten towards your Rabb. Come towards your Allah. Come towards your Creator, your Sustainer, your Nourisher, your Cherisher, your Protector. That Allah, who is so kind, who is so generous, who is so loving, who is so caring, who is calling out to you, Halummu ila Rabbikum. Then they say, Ma qalla wa kafa khayru mimma kathura wa alha. That which is less, yet sufficient, is better than abundance that will make a person negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. The same ghad we're talking about, the tomorrow of the akhirat, Allah says that every soul should prepare for this ghad, for the tomorrow of the hereafter, which is perpetual, which is everlasting, regarding which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِثْلَ النَّارِ نَامَ هَارِبُهَا وَمَا رَأَيْتُ مِثْلَ الْجَنَّةِ نَامَ طَالِبُهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. I have not seen anything like the fire of Jahannam, the blazing fire of Jahannam, whose escaper, or the person wishing to free himself from the fire of Jahannam, is fast asleep. He wishes to save himself from the fire of Jahannam, yet he is fast asleep. I have not seen anything like Jannat paradise, whose seeker is fast asleep. That Jannat which we are all aspiring towards, which we all desire, نَامَ طَالِبُهَا. We are seeking that Jannat, but everybody is fast asleep. This is the reality of life. Dunya is short-lived. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he explained to us, dunya compared to akhirat, as I mentioned in the beginning of the talk, like the little child thrown into mid-air. Those few moments of anxiety that the parent throws a child into the air, and before it lands back in the soft hands of the parents, those few moments of anxiety, that is like the dwell, the dunya, the life in dunya, the short-lived life in dunya compared to the everlasting akhirat. Rasulullah has mentioned that a person takes his finger and dips it in the ocean, the huge ocean, and then he removes his finger. That amount of water, that drop of water that he sees on his fingertip, that is likened to the life in this world, the days in this world, the years in this world, compared to the everlasting life of the hereafter. In one hadith it is mentioned, on the day of Qiyamah, a person who was given, or who enjoyed all different types of bounties, various types of bounties in this world, he was blessed with huge mansions and cars, and he had a huge family, he had abundant wealth, he had every type of comfort one can even imagine. He enjoyed all these ni'mats, all these bounties. But because he did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just dip him into Jahannam. The angels will take this person who had all the comfort in this world and just dip him for a few seconds in Jahannam. And then he'll be removed. And Allah will question him, did you ever experience any comfort and luxury in your worldly life? He will say, wallah, I experience no comfort whatsoever. All the luxury, the opulence, the comfort that he enjoyed in the world, everything will be forgotten when the person is dipped into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah save us. And another person will be brought who is destined for Jannat, but was deprived of the different luxuries that others enjoyed in this world. He was a poor person. He went to great sacrifice and struggle, and he'll be dipped into paradise. For a few seconds, he'll be taken into Jannat and then removed. Allah will ask him, Hal marra bika bu'sun qattu? Did you ever experience any difficulty, any pain, any suffering in the world? He'll say, wallah, never. Never. To understand this, sometimes when a person goes overseas, he travels overseas, he goes for Umrah, and perhaps before embarking on this journey, he had a lot of hassle, a lot of problems, acquiring his visa or the ticket, or there was some problem with the luggage, or the flight, there was some delay, and he went to great pain. But the moment he reaches his destination, the moment he enters the beautiful city of Madinah Munawwara, the moment he stands before the Rawdah Mubarak, and he presents himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forgets all the discomfort that he experienced. My respected brothers and elders, this ghad of tomorrow, that is what we all are required to strive towards. Each and every one of us, we have to seriously ponder and reflect who we are, where we are, what is our purpose in life, where are we heading towards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an invitation in such beautiful words. Allah says, Wallahu yad'u ila daris salam. Allah calls you, Allah invites you to the house of peace. Salam means peace, where there is no pain, no suffering, no toil, no fatigue. There's only tranquility, serenity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained this invitation of Allah in a hadith. And the example is given of a person, a very wealthy person, a leader of a community, a king, a sayyid, banadaran. He builds a beautiful palace. And he has got meals prepared for guests. He sends out a person, a caller, somebody who will invite every person he sees on his way. He'll invite that person that come. The king has called you to his palace and you have been invited to partake of some meals that have been prepared for you. So this invited, this caller goes out and he calls the people. فَمَنْ أَجَابَ دَاعِيًا دَخَلَ الدَّارِ وَأَكَلَ مِنَ الْمَأْدُوبَةِ. That person who responds positively to the invitation of this caller, he enters this house and then he partakes of the food that has been prepared by the king. But that person who is arrogant, that person who is stubborn, that person who turns away and he shows signs of apathy, indifference towards this invitation of this caller, then he is deprived of entering this beautiful mansion. And of course, he will not enjoy the meals that have been prepared for him. Exactly like that. That king is Allah. And he has prepared for us. And he has built this house of salam, which is Islam. And he sent out Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is a da'i towards Allah, who invites mankind to accept the invitation of Allah. And those people who accept this invitation enter this house of Islam, and then ultimately they get Jannat and they enjoy the meals that have been prepared, and that is the bounties of paradise. But that person who rejects this invitation, he is deprived. My respected brothers and elders, it was for this ghad, for this tomorrow of the akhirat, that the Salaf al-Saliheen, the pious predecessors, the Tabi'een, the Sahaba al-Kiram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, they showed great concern for. Imagine a great Sahabi, like that of Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala an, and we have no time to explain his great virtues and the close proximity in which he lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companionship that he enjoyed. He used to actually hold another Sahabi's hand and seat him down, and he would say, "Ijlis bina nu'min sa'a." Let us sit down and bring iman for a little while. And the Sahabi will say, "Awalasna mu'mineen? Don't we have iman already? What do you mean by this?" He will say, "Nazkurullah fanazdadu imanan." Let us talk about the greatness of Allah. Let us talk about the greatness of Allah, the power of Allah, the qudrat of Allah, the munificence of Allah, the mercy of Allah. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوْ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah is one. Allahu samad. Allah is self-sufficient. Allah is independent. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. We are all beggars. We are totally dependent upon Allah. Allah is samad. Mufassirin explain, الَّذِي لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى أَحَدْ بَلْ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ كُلُّ أَحَدْ. Allah is totally independent. Allah does not require assistance from any person. Every person is in fact totally dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has He not created the sun? Has He not created the moon? Has He not created the skies, the seven firmaments? Has He not created the earth? Has He not created the mountains, the ocean, the rivers, the insan, the jinnah, the animals, the insects, the birds? Has He not created the different realms? Every single makhluk is the creation of Allah. Allah is our creator. We are all dependent upon Allah. We are all required to obey only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this realization to come to us, we have to remind ourselves of the greatness of Allah. We have to connect ourselves to Allah. We have to purge our hearts and rid ourselves, our hearts, from the maladies that we are suffering from. The pride, the arrogance, the hatred, the jealousy that we have, the love of dunya which has embedded our hearts, that has made us negligent of Allah. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with such beautiful words, Allah is pleading to us. Like our little child that is turning away from its mother. The mother has such a love for the child. Pyare munna, oh my beloved son, my beta, my child, my jaan, my sweetheart. These are the things we say to our little child. Please, please listen to me. Please come here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. O mankind, what has deceived you from your Rabb who is so kind and generous? What has turned you away? Allah is calling out to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. My respected brothers and elders, we are being faced with various type of challenges in this era and time. So many people are leaving the fold of Islam. We are seeing this on a daily basis. It causes us great pain. We become restless. May Allah protect our iman. May Allah protect the iman of our families, our children, our progeny. We have to make an effort on this iman. Without iman, a person is not given jannat. He does not gain entry into jannat. No iman, there is no jannat. The key to jannat is la ilaha illallah. And this is the kalima that Rasulullah made a great effort upon. And he invited the entire mankind towards this kalima. Young and old, rich and poor, men, women, every single person requires this kalima. How many people have we invited towards Islam? How many people have we invited towards Islam? How important this kalima is. A man who recites this kalima, mustayqinan biha qalbu, with yaqeen, conviction in Allah, Allah guarantees him Jannah. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an, was sent on a voyage. He was sent in the path of Allah, and a fight ensued with the enemy. And Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an, he is the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the son of the beloved Zayd, who is the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama is the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his father Zayd, the adopted son of Rasulullah, is also the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hibbu Rasulullah wa ibn hibbihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala is on this battlefield, and he sees an enemy. So he goes forward with his sword, and as he approaches this enemy, the enemy shouts out, La ilaha illallah. Usama realizes that this man, he just wants to save himself from being killed. So Usama radiallahu ta'ala, with him there was another Ansari, the other Ansari. He went back, he refrained from killing this person. Usama bin Zayd took his sword and he pushed his dagger into this enemy and he killed him. The news reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah calls Usama. Usama, what did you do? He says, Ya Rasulullah, innama kana muta'awwidhan. He was just trying to save his life, and therefore he recited kalima. He didn't really mean it. What did Rasulullah ﷺ reply? One riwayat, Ya Usama, fahalla shaqaqta qalba. Why did you not then split open his heart to see whether he recited the kalima with sincerity or not? He recited kalima. You should have spared his life. The man who recites kalima, he becomes a believer. He's different in the eyes of Allah. He's different in the eyes of Allah. Every person is the makhluk of Allah. Allah provides for every person. But a believer has got special mercy from Allah. And he is guaranteed Jannat now. فَهَلَّا شَقَقْتَ قَلْبَهُ Usama realizes his mistake. Ya Rasulullah, make dua Allah forgives me. Rasulullah did not respond. Rasul says, in one riwayat, Usama, فَكَيْفَ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَكَيْفَ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِذَا جَأَتْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Usama, what will you do on the day of Qiyamah when La ilaha illallah will come for this person and be placed in his scales? What will you do? فَكَيْفَ تَصْنَعُ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Usama says, I wish that I had not yet embraced Islam till that day, and only embraced Islam after that incident. But of course, he made tawbah istighfar. My respected brothers and elders, we have this kalima, La ilaha illallah. We have no time, time has expired. And this is so valuable. We all want Jannah for ourselves, for our families, don't we? What about the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That ummah to whom Rasulullah cried every single day, وَأَنَا أَخِذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ I'm holding you by your waist, by your hips, pulling you away from Jahannam. Oh my ummah, but you still want to plunge into Jahannam? You want to break yourself loose from my hand, from my grip, and you still want to fall into Jahannam? Inshallah, my respected brothers and elders, I'm sure most of you are already aware that the ijtima will be taking place in Stanger on the 25th, 26th and 27th of this month. Saturday, Sunday and Monday. The ijtima will not commence on Friday. From Saturday, Dhuhr, inshallah. Last week in Roshni, from what we have heard, approximately 30,000 to 40,000 brothers had participated in the ijtima in Roshni. May Allah accept the ijtima. May Allah accept the sacrifices of our brothers. My respected brothers, this is the effort that we require to do to save our iman, to save the iman of our children, to save the iman of the entire mankind. So inshallah, a humble appeal is made that all of us should attend this ijtima and bring with us many, many other friends that we have and relatives and our baligh children, sons. Our baligh sons, bring them also to the ijtima. Perhaps a few minutes we will listen to some discourse. Allah will change our condition. A person will be given the tawfiq of making tawbah istighfar. He will cogitate, reflect over his doings, He will want to become the beloved of Allah. He will want to turn towards Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. He will make tawbah, istighfar. And then he will also become an inviter towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا أَلِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.